Welcome to the 1833rd edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper. We are recording in the Lee Brown Meeting Room in Sidmouth on Tuesday the 13th of August. I am Marion Hines, your editor this week, and our readers are Paula Hughes, Simon Card, Anne-Marie Irish and Amanda Kirby. Our registrars are Carol Laird and John Dixon, and Peter Eagles, our producer, will copy your memory stick and a member of the team will mail it to you. Thanks to the editors of the Midweek, Ottery and Sidmouth Heralds and Express and Echo, from which we have extracted today's news items, some of which have been abbreviated to allow us to cover as many items as possible. We have stories from the Paris Olympics, Sidmouth Folk Festival, news of local housing development, and a report of a village murder. Anne-Marie will start with news features from Honiton. So let us begin.
Hello. Honiton carers celebrated their 10th anniversary at their annual general meeting, the AGM. The big turnout on July the 31st saw all original committee members securing their positions again, with the chair being particularly well received. During the AGM, Winnie Cameron, Chair, revisited the accounts report, while her colleague, Member Secretary Angela McFadden, took notes. Mark Rich, the Treasurer, took the members through the accounts. The Chair also read the committee's proposals for 2024-25, which were unanimously approved by the members, who added suggestions and ideas, which were all accepted and added to the proposed programme. The group's next meeting is scheduled at the kitchen at Coombe Garden Centre from 3 to 4:30. Broadhembury Church of England Primary School has celebrated a successful summer fair, which raised more than £2,000. Hosted by the primary school's Parent, Teacher and Friends Association, not even the poor weather could dampen the spirits of those who attended the event. Bringing together the school and local community, the summer fair was a significant success for all involved. The funds raised at the event will be used to enrich the experience of the children at the school. The day was filled with family-friendly games, while there was also food, stalls and raffle with some incredible prizes. PTFA Chair Holly Doidge said, "It is great to be able to put on events like this, and we are enjoying playing a part in the rural community. We could not do any of this without the support of the village, and I would also like to thank all of the local businesses that have supported the event. We really appreciated it. We are looking forward to the year ahead." Mr. Butler, Acting Executive Head, said, "As Broadhembury joined the Link Academy Trust in September, it is great to see the PTFA so active and supporting the school so admirably." The Honiton branch of the Royal British Legion needs help from the community in securing storage space to support this year's poppy appeal. The poppy appeal, a cornerstone of the Legion's annual fundraising efforts, provides support to service personnel, veterans and their families. Nick Wadey said, "However, without adequate storage for poppies and related materials, the campaign is at risk. The branch needs a space of 3 cubic metres, ideally within easy reach of the town centre. Local businesses, organisations or individuals who can offer temporary or long-term storage solutions are encouraged to come forward. The Legion's current storage facilities are insufficient to handle the growing needs of the poppy appeal. With Remembrance Day approaching, the demand for poppies and merchandise is higher than ever. The lack of proper storage not only hampers the distribution efforts, but also risks damaging the materials, which are essential for the fundraising drive. Those able to assist are asked to contact the Legion directly at honiton.chairman@rbl.community or by phone at 0779 306 4303. Sorry. The sun may have been out, but it was raining pennies in the sunshine at Honiton's quirkiest traditional event. Crowds gathered outside the Holt. The weather was hot, and now the schools had broken up for the summer holidays. There were hundreds of people in the crowd, scrabbling around to collect the pennies. Town crier Dave Retter arrived with his garlanded pole to mark the start of the Honiton Hot Pennies event. After declaring, "Oye, oye," and announcing that no man shall be arrested during proceedings, and raising the pole, the ceremony then began with the landlords of the Holt tossing pennies to the awaiting crowds. The crowd then followed the garlanded pole up the High Street to Manor House, home to the staff of WBW solicitors, who also emptied their office of 2p coins to the crowd. Then it was on to the former assembly rooms, home to Peter Betteridge in the middle of the High Street. After declaring another "Oye," "The pole is up," and "God save the King," it was the turn of Peter Betteridge and Chilcot's auctioneers to toss penny to the crowd. The 45-minute event ended with the pole being passed from street level through the second floor window of the Three Tuns Inn, where Dave Retter and the landlords toss coins to the crowd. It's a tradition in the town dating back to the 13th century. Honiton's Hot Pennies ceremony celebrated its 800th year in 2023. The reason for the garlanded pole dates back to the first event, so that everyone would come to Honiton for the fair, which followed the ceremony, without the fear of being arrested. Baker Estates has submitted a planning application to build 37 new homes off Hayne Farm in Gittisham. In 2023, plans were granted to knock down the existing farm buildings. The home will be 34 open market of a mixture of 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 bedrooms. The affordable split is 3 dwellings made up of 2 bedroom houses. Cycle storage will be provided within garages, where these are provided. For dwellings without a garage, timber sheds will be provided within private rear gardens. Waste and recycling storage for refuse and recycling bins will be provided within rear gardens, with gated access providing access to the front of the properties. The majority of the houses are to be two-storey. Access to the site will be the same as current access to the farmland, with a high street in the middle and pedestrian routes to Gittisham and Honiton with the train line and shops. The homes are being built with community safety in mind, with community areas and play spaces. Parking for the homes will be a garage with car parking in front, as well as designated on-street parking. You can read the full details or comment on it via the East Devon District Council planning website.
Hello, I'm Paula with news from Ottery. An Ottery woman has appeared in court accused of stalking. Sophie Colwell, aged 30, of 44 Mill Street in Ottery St Mary, is charged with stalking a man in Exton, causing serious alarm and distress. The alleged offences took place between May the 1st and May 30th this year. At Exeter Magistrates Court on August 1st, 2024, she was remanded on conditional bail until the next hearing on September the 6th, 2024. The bail conditions stipulate that she must not contact the alleged victim directly or indirectly and must not go to Green Lane, Exton, or the Smile Dental Surgery, Emperor Way, Exeter. An organ recital by a musician who grew up in Ottery will take place at the parish church on Saturday, August the 24th. Greg Suzavi moved to Devon from London aged 6 and began piano lessons almost immediately. He later attended Colleton Grammar, where he developed an interest in the organ and took lessons from Peter Parsall. He studied at the University of Chichester, where he graduated with a first-class honours in music performance. Whilst at Chichester, Greg held the position of organ and choral scholar at Arundel Cathedral. He also sang for and accompanied the University Chamber Choir. Greg is currently the music teacher at St James's School in Exeter. He also plays Sunday services at Ottery St Mary Parish Church. The recital on August the 24th will start at 7 p.m. Tickets are priced at £12 for adults or £5 for children and are available from www.peoplesfundraising.com or on the door. Keen local gardeners can get some expert tips and advice when BBC Gardeners World presenter Adam Frost visits Otter Garden Centres in Ottery St Mary on Saturday, September the 21st. Two separate ticketed events are taking place. In the morning, Adam will be hosting a two-hour Q&A session where people can get information and inspiration on managing and improving their gardens. Attendees can submit their questions in advance with photos if necessary. In the afternoon, Adam will demonstrate planting the perfect container. Otter Garden Centre's marketing manager, Chris Amphlett, said, "We're thrilled to have Adam coming to meet our customers in Ottery. It's a great chance to learn from his expertise." The ticket price for each event is £30, which includes a drink and cake on arrival, a goodie bag, and a copy of Adam's book, The Creative Gardener, recommended retail price £20. Tickets can be bought via the Otter Garden Centre's website. Dozens of Dachshunds descended on Cold Harbour Field Kitchen near Ottery St Mary in a special event for dogs and owners alike. The Sausage Sunday on August the 4th was a fundraiser for DMT Dachshund Rescue, a UK-based charity that rescues the dogs from kill shelters and the meat trade in Asia. The day proved popular, with owners bringing their Dachshunds and other dogs from Honiton, Exeter, Exmouth, Tiverton, Taunton, Plymouth, Torquay and Yeovil. It raised £160. Sausage dog owner and co-owner of the field kitchen, Beth Ashfield, said, "We were bowled over by the interest. Thank you to everyone who came along. We've already received many requests to repeat the event from those who came and others who weren't able to. So we hope to do another sausage gathering in September." A Japanese academic has visited Ottery St Mary to see the retirement home of a British diplomat who was a key figure in the late 19th century Anglo-Japanese relations. Sir Ernest Seitao is better known in Japan than in this country, as he was fundamental in the drafting of a new constitution for Japan as its sovereignty changed. He is seen as hugely influential in Japan's history. After his retirement, he lived at Beaumont House in Ottery St Mary and died aged 86 in the town. In early June, the Ottery St Mary Heritage Society received an email from Miss Kaoru Yoshida from the Women's University of Tokyo. Miss Yoshida is an academic visitor at the University of Cambridge this summer and is very interested in Sir Ernest Seitao. She asked if she could visit Ottery St Mary to visit Beaumont House and his grave in the churchyard. The society replied saying that they were very happy to help, and the visit was organised. Miss Yoshida was met by Peter Shrubsall and Alison Sharples from the Heritage Society. Before visiting Beaumont House, she was shown the peace bell in the Sainsbury's Gardens, which was donated to Ottery by the residents of Otari in Japan in 1993. In exchange, Ottery St Mary Town Council sent them a traditional English church bell. Miss Yoshida was then taken to the museum. The visit then moved to Beaumont House, where she was greeted by Mr. John Ingham, the current owner, who showed Miss Yoshida the house and the grounds. Miss Yoshida was quite moved to be in the room where Satow wrote his extensive diaries. The final visit of the tour was to the church. She was greeted by Richard Coley, who not only showed Miss Yoshida Satow's grave, but also guided her around the church and explained its history. The Heritage Society said it had been a real pleasure to welcome Miss Yoshida to the town and build on her knowledge of this hugely influential and revered British man in Japanese history. When we talk about tar barrels, strong man, gruelling challenges, and determination in Ottery, the name of Lee Strawbridge comes to mind. His love for this town and for the world-famous event that takes place every 5th of November is unparalleled. Lee's dedication is demonstrated by the many challenges he has undertaken to raise funds for the Tar Barrels Committee, which is crucial in organising and preserving this iconic event. Despite a severe accident in 2014 that could have ended his career, he bounced back with determination. After breaking 19 bones, including his back, neck, ribs and collarbone, and puncturing a lung, Lee returned to the Strongman Arena 9 months later with a metal plate in his collarbone and emerged victorious, reaching the finals of England's strongest man under 90 kilograms in 2017. On the 16th of August, Lee will be facing his latest challenge when carrying an oak barrel to the top of Snowdon. Lee said, "The weather will play a big part as I will be completely exposed to the elements. I'm hoping for a dry, non-windy day, but it will be windy at the top, whatever. The terrain will also play a big part from what I've seen. It will be a mixture of grass, gravel and steps. I've been training on the road and lately made it with the barrel to the highest points in Devon, High Willey's Tor and Yess Tor. It was a tough climb carrying a barrel, but I made it in pretty good time. I've got friends and family members who will be supporting me on the walk, which would be great when things get tough. The Ottery community, with its rich history of support for events like Tar Barrels, Carnival, and the Ottery Strongman competition, is now called upon to support Lee's new challenge. If you wish to donate, please visit Lee's GoFundMe page. Lee also has set up a Facebook event page to update you on his training."
Hello, this is Simon with news from Sidmouth. Sidmouth Primary School has been presented with 123 books for the library by Winston's of Sidmouth. The bookshop launched its Build a Library scheme in March. Local customers, visitors and parents were invited to buy books from the school's wish list. The books were presented to the school at a special assembly at the end of the summer term. Sam Weir, Deputy Head, said, "I would like to thank our wonderful community with their amazing support for our Build a Library project in partnership with Winston's Books. We're extremely grateful for those who've supported the project." Denise Thomas, bookseller, said, "At Winston's we are passionate about reading and mindful of school budgets, so we're over the moon that the scheme has been so successful. Vulnerable refugee babies in Mauritania are being kept warm by cosy cardigans and hats knitted by a lady in Sidmouth. Jo Dermer has been supplying the knitwear via her nephew, Colin Wells, who was until this month the British ambassador in Mauritania. Colin said she's fantastic knitting and concentrates on adorable and colourful cardigans and hats for small babies. She asked me to find a good home for them amongst the most vulnerable in Mauritania. The UNHCR, the UN's refugee agency, and the Catholic Church in Nouadhibou, in northern Mauritania, made sure they were given to refugee children, babies more specifically. They're all well received because while Mauritania is is hot in the day, the temperatures drop significantly at night. Many refugees do not have adequate accommodation. It's a rough existence, and children are the most vulnerable. Devon Cricket Club is aiming for its first victory this summer in the third round of the NCCA Western Division match. The three-day face-off with Cheshire unfolds at the Fort Field in Sidmouth from August the 11th to the 13th. Sidmouth Cricket Club celebrated its 200th anniversary last year and has been hosting county games for 110 years. The venue is a favourite due to its seaside setting and grounds. All are welcome as entry is free with play from noon on Sunday and all the way through to Monday and Tuesday, finishing at 7 p.m. Sidmouth themselves sit mid-table in the Devon Cricket League Premier and are on a high after defeating Heathcote at the weekend away from the Fort Field. Harry Southgate top scored in 54 as they chased down Heathcote's total of 139 all out to win by 9 wickets. A visitor to Sidmouth said he was hit by a drone as he walked along the Esplanade, leaving him grazed and in a state of shock. John Philpott, 75, from Worcester, was in Sidmouth on Thursday, August the 1st, enjoying the pre-folk festival atmosphere. There were buskers playing music on the seafront and the crowds of people milling around. He said, "I was opposite the hotels lining the seafront when suddenly I felt a stabbing pain in my arm. I looked down and saw a drone had come to rest on the ground, its propellers spinning to stop. It was blue and seemed to have some photographic apparatus attached. I looked at my arm and there were several grazes plus bruises. The front was jam-packed with people. It beggars belief that some individuals think it's acceptable behaviour. Drone operators are supposed to adhere to the drone and model aircraft code issued by the Civil Aviation Authority. The code clearly states that the drones must not be flown within 50 metres of other people unless they are with the operator and should never be flown over people who are crowded together. The code also states that any dangerous instance or near misses must be reported to the Civil Aviation Authority, and Mr. Philpott said he would be doing this. A Sidmouth resident has written a book about Lanzarote's geology, now available in English. Retired university professor Roger Trenn's 100-page book, paperback book, entitled The Island of Volcanoes, was initially published in Lanzarote in December. Presenting a rich collection of 15 maps and diagrams and more than 140 photographs, the book is pitched at non-specialists, including travellers. The book arose from the explanations that Mr. Trenn gave to fellow hotel guests during stays in Lanzarote. He discovered that no book was available for the non-specialist who wanted to discover more about the island's amazing landscapes and geographical background, so he decided to write the book himself. Mr. Trenn's book delves into the island's geology and landscape outlining the formation of the Canary Islands and the several phases of Lanzarote's volcanism, as well as its diverse sediments and hazards. Mr. Trend, a retired academic from Oxford University, also spent part of his career at the University of Exeter. After retiring, he and his wife moved to Sidmouth in 2011. A talk about the book will be given by Mr. Trend at the Sidmouth Science Festival on Saturday, October the 5th at 1 p.m. in All Saints Hall, Church, Sidmouth, to which all are welcome.
Peter Burrows, who leads the plastic-free Seton Group, writes, "Although Seton did not have its annual town clean in March, we had 21 volunteers last weekend to do a beach clean during the Natural Seton Festival. The good news is that we did not manage to fill the equivalent of one SAS bag. There was very little plastic and metal and two large pieces of painted wood. However, there was broken glass by the barbecue pits. It is heartening to know that Seton Beach is probably one of the cleanest beaches in Devon, and the residents should be proud of that fact." Paddleboarders, kayakers and canoeists can find out how to stay safe on the water at two events on Seton Beach this month. The Axe Vale Canoe Club will have a stand near the Spot On Cafe on Sunday, August the 11th and Sunday the 18th. Between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m, staffed by coaches from the club and volunteers from Lyme Regis RNLI. They'll be spreading the word about the Paddle Safe campaign by Paddle UK and the RNLI, which has five key messages for all paddlers. Hundreds of motorcyclists descended on Seton Seafront for the annual Seton Bikers Day Out on Sunday, July the 28th. The event was organised by a small group of local bikers assisted by volunteer marshals. It attracts bikers from all over the South West, from Cornwall to Bristol. Organiser Peter Thomas said, "The weather was excellent, perfect biking weather, and even before the official opening time, bikes started pouring in, making a donation on arrival. As the morning wore on, the stream of bikes increased until lunchtime. The road was completely filled with motorcycles from 50cc to 2,500cc, from choppers to race replicas and from every era." Mr. Thomas added, "The atmosphere was sensational, with hundreds of happy bikers meeting and greeting friends old and new. As well as the bikers, the general public were thrilled by the awesome spectacle of so many wonderful machines. By the time all the bikes had left and the road had reopened, £2,500 had been collected for the Devon Air Ambulance." The brand new visitor attraction, Jurassic Discovery, launched a new exhibition featuring animatronic dinosaurs last Saturday. Last Day of the Dinosaurs opened on July the 27th and was opened by Professor Paul Barrett from the Natural History Museum. This immersive walk-through experience transports visitors to the Cretaceous period, offering a journey to discover the final days of the dinosaurs. The new attraction, launched during Seton Tramway's Natural Seton Festival weekend, had families of all ages experiencing what it might be like to walk with dinosaurs, featuring lifelike animatronic dinosaurs that bring the prehistoric giants back to life. Scenes depict the diverse ecosystem that existed 66 million years ago, right up to the dramatic events that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. The exhibition will be open daily, offering multiple entry sessions throughout the day to ensure everyone gets a chance to explore. Fans of Tyrannosaurus rex, Triceratops, Velociraptors and more will be able to get up close with the real creatures. Guests will learn about different dinosaur species, their habitats and behaviours through displays and informative exhibits, the state-of-the-art animatronics, purchased from the Natural History Museum in London, offer a realistic glimpse into the past, making history come alive for every visitor. Professor Paul Barrett from the Natural History Museum, London, joined Jurassic Discovery to officially open the new attraction and said, "It's terrific to see Jurassic Discovery opening in Seton and telling the story of the lost dinosaurs, alongside a message that we can avert our own current environmental disasters if we take better care of our planet." Jurassic Discovery, operated by Seton Tramway, involves significant investment in acquiring the building, as well as animatronic dinosaurs. The new exhibition is expected to attract visitors from near and far and creating numerous job opportunities. Seton Tramway acquired the old Seton Jurassic building, which had been closed since 2021. It opened the Jurassic Discovery attraction in March, offering a dinosaur-themed soft play and cafe with great success. Jenny Nunn, CEO of Seton Tramway and Jurassic Discovery, said, "We are excited to unveil Last Day of the Dinosaurs at Jurassic Discovery. This exhibition is not just about fun and entertainment. It's about connecting people with the rich history of our planet, highlighting the magnificent Jurassic Coast on our doorstep, and fostering a sense of wonder and curiosity. Our aim is to create an engaging, educational and unforgettable experience for visitors of all ages."
Now we have details of events happening in and around Sidmouth over the next little while. Every weekday morning, Sidmouth Voluntary Services at Twyford House in Coburg Road have a morning cafe open from 8:30 until 12 noon. Enjoy a relaxed morning with coffee, biscuits provided. At the other side of Sidmouth on Mondays, there is a community coffee morning at St Peter's Church in Sidford from 9:30 till 11:30 with friendly company, tea, coffee, cakes and a bring and buy store. Also on Mondays, IT help is available at the Sidmouth Library for quick fix problems between 11 and 12 o'clock. And you can also book for a session on Wednesday afternoons and Friday mornings. Tuesdays, the Citizens Advice Bureau holds a drop-in session between 9:30 until 11:30 at Sidmouth Hospice at Home, 48 High Street, Sidmouth. On Wednesdays, the East Devon Daytime Band meet at the Rugby Football Club Pavilion at Byes Close, Sidford, at 10:15 till 12:15, and we'll be pleased to welcome new members. If you have any interest, do ring 01395 708 766. On Wednesdays, a Parental Minds support session is held at All Saints Church between 10:30 till 12:30. A safe place for parents and caregivers to be heard and to find information on family mental health support. Telephone 07 907 614 516. Also on Wednesdays, you are welcome at Sidmouth Methodist Hall at 10:30 for hot drinks and good company. And from 12 o'clock, the Oasis Drop-In Cafe at the Lee Brown Room at Dissenters Meeting Rooms for conversations and a cuppa. Thursday afternoons, Bairns Hampton and Littlewood invite you to an antique valuation between 2 until 4 for a free antique appraisal. For more information, 01392 413100. On Friday the 16th of August, Lime Eats Boutique starts at 4 o'clock, an evening street food market at Cobgate Car Park. In Exmouth, on that Friday, at the Exmouth Pavilion, starting at 7:30, is the Roy Orbison Story. Tickets are £30, a musical theatre production featuring the music of Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis and the Travelling Wilburys. On Saturday the 17th of August, it is the Sid Valley Horticultural Society 92nd Annual Gardening and Craft Show at Sid Ford Social Hall, Byes Lane, starting at 2 o'clock until 5. Entry is just £1. On Saturday the 17th, it's a Sidmouth rugby match at the Blackmore Grounds starting at 3 o'clock, a men's friendly versus Oakhampton. And on Saturday afternoon, there is an organ recital at Sidmouth Parish Church, starting at 4 o'clock, with Charles Spanner playing favourite classics. And on Saturday evening, it is Last Night of the Proms with Sidmouth Town Band playing at Connaught Gardens, starting at 7:30. The gardens open at 6. Tickets are £7.50 from McShaw's optometrist. Bring your own deck chairs, picnic and blankets.
Hello, Anne-Marie again with news from Budleigh and Devon. Budleigh Salterton Croquet Club, one of Europe's few 11 lawn venues, was abuzz recently with the English National Golf Croquet Doubles. The event, held on July the 27th and 28th, attracted 32 entries and marked its third consecutive year at the club. The champions of this year's contest were James Death and Sam Cuthbert, both based in the Cheltenham area. Budleigh Salterton will host next year's European Golf Croquet Championships in May. The Association Croquet Home International, involving England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland, as well as a test match between Great Britain and the USA for the Solomon Trophy in August. Prospective members and interested parties can engage further via the club's website, with new members always welcome to the club. A new deal aims to boost the growth of community spaces across Devon. National Grid Electricity Distribution has struck a partnership with Warm Welcome, aligned with their Warm Welcome for All pledge, which aspires for everyone in the UK to enjoy free access to welcoming communal areas. The announcement was made at a roundtable meeting chaired by former Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Gordon Brown. It detailed various strategies for businesses to bolster community spaces in Devon while combating fuel poverty. Warm Welcome was established in 2022 to tackle the cost of living crisis after a meeting between Gordon Brown and several faith leaders. As of now, the initiative comprises 4,000 Warm Welcome spaces all over the UK, from faith groups to cafes. These communal spaces have catered to over 4.5 million visitors over the past two winters. Currently, 62% of the UK population live within a 30-minute walking distance from a registered Warm Welcome space. Budleigh Salterton Sea Change is one of the many Warm Welcome spaces in Devon. It provides support and several activities to residents of East Devon aimed at promoting health and reducing isolation. National Grid's Community Matters Fund has been a primary contributor, injecting 2.7 million of funding into over 400 warm spaces last year. Since its 2021 launch, the fund has awarded 10.5 million to charities. The partnership promises volunteer opportunities in local warm welcome spaces for National Grid employees during winter and guarantees additional aid for such spaces in Devon. Fewer cancer patients at the Royal Devon University Healthcare Trust had full confidence in every staff member caring for them, new figures show. Macmillan Cancer Support said, "Everyone diagnosed with cancer should be receiving support that's right for their needs." Figures from NHS England's Cancer Patient Experience Survey showed 78% of 434 patients who received cancer care at Royal Devon University Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust and responded to the survey question said they had confidence and trust in every member of the team looking after them. This was down slightly from 81% the year before, and similar to the average score across England of 77%. The figures also show the average rating of the 1,185 people who received cancer care at the Royal Devon University Healthcare Trust and provided an overall score was 9 out of 10. Nationally, the overall experience of cancer patients rose marginally to 8.9 out of 10 last year.
Hello, Paula again with news from the EDDC, Tipton St John and Lyme Regis. The first ever tree, hedge and woodland strategy for East Devon is set to launch, with people in the area encouraged to share their thoughts. The proposal comes from the East Devon District Council, EDDC, as they aim to become carbon neutral by 2040. To help meet this goal, the council will incorporate feedback from residents, community groups, landowners, and businesses into their plans. The new strategy will assess and improve existing trees and woodland and hedge coverages in the district. It will provide recommendations for the expansion of these natural resources on public and private land, inclusive of development sites. Councillor Jeff Young said, "We want everyone to join the conversation about trees and hedges because it's vital that our new strategy reflects your views. Our goal is to increase our tree cover, provide more woodlands and hedges for future generations, and to enjoy and address climate change at the same time." 9 play areas will receive upgraded play equipment and safety surfaces as part of a £1 million investment from East Devon District Council. The equipment at these locations has reached the end of its life and requires replacing. Exmouth's play areas at Baker Close, Carter Avenue, Byron Way and Littleham Village Hall are amongst those which will be refurbished. Whitebridge's, Willow Walk and All Hallows play areas in Honiton will also be upgraded, as well as Slewton Crescent play area in Wimpole and Land of Canaan play area in Ottery St Mary. Share your thoughts on what you would like to see in the refurbished play areas before 5 p.m. on the 23rd of August 2024 on EDDC's Commonplace Consultation website. The consultation questions ask what local families think about the current play areas and the kind of activities that they would like to be included in the refurbishment. EDDC hopes to install the new play areas in summer next year. Tipton St John has broken a 4-match losing streak by defeating Cova Jerrys with a win by 6 wickets. The Jerrys, who batted first, were kept mostly under control with batsman Nick Guest making the most of the innings with a score of 49 over 36 overs. Mark Channon and David Birch made early inroads with Channon bowling out Padfield for 7 and David Birch dismissing the assertive Daniel Lobb for 26, thanks to Phil Wright's slip catch. An impressive play by Adam Gibbons saw a spinning ball finding the edge of Jones's bat, which was caught by Channon. Battling on, Guest's firm innings came to an end when bowled by John Buckland, leaving the Jerrys posting a final score of 157 for 4. Despite the early loss of captain Dave Tare for 5, Tipton St John managed a solid reply with Luke Phillips and Mike Bennett raising the score to 54. However, an impressive performance saw Tipton claim the triumph with 16 overs to spare. Tipton CC also announced their 50th anniversary celebrations in late August, which promises a cricket festival against some visiting teams. The much-anticipated matches against Incogniti CC, Boffin CC and Ascot under Wychwood CC will take place on August the 22nd, 25th and 27th respectively, all starting at 1 p.m. The club spread a warm welcome to spectators and supporters to enjoy the matches and attend the family-friendly cricket event scheduled for August the 25th, where everyone has been invited to take part in a softball cricket tournament. Two under-14s and two ladies must be on each team and no cricket experience is required. The day will kick off at 11 a.m. with a barbecue throughout the day. The entry fee is £10 per team, and those interested should contact David Birch 07929 822940 for more details. Lyme Regis is set to host an illustrated talk on Jane Austen at Woodmead Halls. The event, Jane Austen, Woman and Writer, is open to all and will start at 2:30 p.m. on September the 12th. There's an entrance fee of £2 for members and £5 for visitors. Maureen Stiller, Secretary and Trustee of the Jane Austen Society, who is also an internationally renowned Austen expert, will be the speaker. The Society, which was established in 1940, purchased and preserved Austen's Chawton Cottage, where she lived from 1809 to 1817. The talk will touch on Austen's life, writing, and her time in Lyme Regis, where she wrote her last novel, Persuasion. For further information, contact David Cox on 01297 443 156.
Hello, this is Simon again with news from around the Sid Valley and beyond. The MP for Honiton and Sidmouth, Richard Ford, writes as follows. The scenes of thuggery on British streets in recent days has been nothing short of horrifying. Whole communities have been upturned by a wave of violent unrest, which has opened deep wounds in towns and cities across the country. There's a big difference between peaceful protesting against our laws, which is perfectly acceptable, and the actions of aggressive criminals, which are against the law, which are not. The violence perpetrated is appalling and unacceptable, plain and simple. Those responsible for inciting these incidents must be brought to justice. Some of the towns affected have rallied around with a desire to clean up the mess and show solidarity with the victims of the heinous Southport killings. Throughout all of this, the brave men and women who serve in the police have been on the front line trying to keep the peace and limit the damage. In recent years, we've seen criticism directed the way the police have been led. This has sometimes been about operational decisions of senior officers, yet political leadership has more than often been to blame. Last Friday, I joined some of the officers working out of the Honiton station for a late shift, so I could see up close the work they do. I was really impressed. Their ability to combine compassion for victims, mostly women, from what I saw, with toughness in the face of suspected violent offenders. I left them to it at the emergency department of Wantford Hospital. I'm in no doubt that our local police are doing all they can to keep us safe. We should give them our full support so that we can keep doing this vital work, but too often unrecognised. Now a report from the Sid Valley Biodiversity Group. There are many stands of tall flowers with yellow daisy-like flowers around the valley's fields and hedges at this time of year. Some are fleabane, but the taller ones are ragwort. Ragwort has a mixed reputation. It is poisonous, but it plays an important part in supporting insect biodiversity. We have five different ragworts in the valley. All the ragworts are poisonous to livestock, particularly horses, and farmers do not want it growing in their pastures. It remains poisonous even when it has been killed, and it will ruin a whole crop of hay or silage. Just like a dandelion, it produces a head of feathery achiness, which allow it to spread in the wild, in the wind. And it germinates easily. It's difficult to control ragwort with herbicides without causing damage to other plants, and the best thing to do is to get in early and pull it up by hand before it builds a large population in a field. If you don't have livestock, then ragwort should be allowed to grow because it is an important food plant for over 200 species of insects and other invertebrates, most famously the caterpillars of the cinnabar moth. Apart from the cinnabar, there are several leaf beetles that also depend on ragwort, and the nectar and pollen-rich flowers are a favourite for many butterflies, moths, bees and flies. A colony of adult burnet moths cluster in the flower heads of the silver ragwort that grows around Jacob's Ladder. Ragwort was a common around Sidmouth in Victorian times, particularly on the boggy areas of Salcombe Hill and Mutters Moor. It's much rarer now as farmland has been drained, but it can still be seen on the edge of Mutters Moor above the golf course. Hairy ragwort prefers chalky ground, and it grows among the coast path near the Donkey Sanctuary, which has a remnant of the chalk that appears in the cliffs at Beer. And now an article about vaping. School children in England may be unwittingly smoking vapes spiked with synthetic drug street drug spice, according to new research. Professor Chris Pudney from the University of Bath tested 596 vapes confiscated from schools in England and found 16.6% contained spice, which has a range of dangerous side effects, including cardiac arrest. It is believed the substance is being substituted into vapes which are sold as containing cannabis oil, as it's cheaper. Police have issued safety warnings relating to vapes in areas including Devon. Policing teams have visited all secondary schools in Devon and Cornwall area to educate students in the health issues of using illegal vapes containing THC or spice. In total, 38 schools from across London, the West Midlands, Greater Manchester and South Yorkshire took part in the research. Results from a device that instantly detects synthetic drugs found spice was present in vapes from 28 or 74% of those schools. The device also revealed 1.17% of the vapes tested contained THC, the psychoactive component of cannabis. Professor Pudney said teenagers think they are purchasing vapes or vape fluid containing THC or nicotine, when in fact they're replaced with spice. We know children can have cardiac arrests when they smoke spice, and I believe some have come quite close to it and close to death. Head teachers are telling the pupils are collapsing in the halls and ending up with long stays in intensive care. He warned parents that his findings were not a niche one-off occurrence that happens only from time to time, but something very common. Professor Pudney is now urging people to talk with children about the risks faced from spice and vaping, as well as the government to prioritise the issue on a national level. Schools that believe they have problems with spiked vapes should come forward for testing, he said. One of Professor Pudney's spice detectors has been deployed in Devon and Cornwall Police for testing within the force area. A day of activities commemorating the Battle of Fenny Bridges took place in Fenneton on Saturday, July the 27th. The battle was part of the Prayer Book Rebellion, a popular revolt in Devon and Cornwall in 1549 in response to religious and political changes brought in by the government of King Edward VI. There were several significant battles between the rebels and the King's army in different locations, including Woodbury Common, Clifton Mary. The Battle of Fenny Bridges took place in July 1549, and around 300 men in both sides are reported to have been killed. At the commemoration event, there was a talk by Dr. Ed Fox, Arming the Rebels, a weapons demonstration by the Living History Group, Commotion Times, and a screening of the TV docudrama about the Battle of Fenny Bridges, the Reformation, which features local people, including the Honiton town crier, Dave Retter, the former Tiverton Honiton MP, Neil Parish, and Andrew Moulding, former chair of East Devon District Council. A man has been charged in connection with the death of a 64-year-old man in a village. Devon and Cornwall police were called to a home in Sandy Lane in Bramford Speak at 8:50 p.m. on Wednesday, July the 31st. The man has sustained stab wounds and was given urgent medical care. He was pronounced dead at the scene. His next of kin have been informed. The suspect had reportedly fled the scene but was located in a nearby house and arrested. Corinne Harper-Davis, 36, of Dermondy Road, Hither Green, London, has been charged with murder and was due to appear at Exeter Magistrates Court on Saturday, August the 3rd. Detective Inspector Guy Bigger said, "We believe that those involved are known to each other. I can confirm this is being treated as an isolated matter, and we're not seeking anyone else in connection with this incident."
Hello, it's Amanda again, with stories from the Sidmouth Folk Festival and the Paris Olympics. Unearthing Stories of Sidmouth, a free concert presented at the Ham Marquee on Sunday, August the 4th, was the culmination of a six-month project by Wren Music and Sidmouth Folk Festival, celebrating the relationship between the festival and the Sidmouth community over the past 70 years. Featuring music from the Folk Orchestra of East Devon, the Devon Youth Folk Ensemble, song from the massed Wren Choirs of Exeter, North Devon, West Devon and Torbay, dance from the Sidmouth Steppers and memories of festival veterans, the performance was very much a local affair. Throughout the project, leaders worked closely with local schools and community groups, sharing music and dance, collecting memories and encouraging creativity. The results included Stories of Sidmouth, a song composed by Sidmouth Community College students based on the memories of local people, the Norman Hornpipe, written and performed by the Devon Youth Folk Ensemble in honour of Norman Lockyer, and Transporting the Stone, a song about the beer quarry workers sung by the Wren men's team to the accompaniment of chisels striking stone. Perhaps the most powerful, though, were the extracts from the community play A Poor Man's House, written to honour the hard life of the Sidmouth fishermen and their families in the days when fishing was the main source of income in the town. Told in the words of those who lived through it, it was a moving evocation of a time that may seem far away to today's youth, but in fact remains within living memory of Sidmouth's most senior residents. At Sidmouth Church of England Primary School, on Saturday, August the 3rd, Stephen Rowley led a Mummers Play Skills workshop covering the history and theatrical practice of Mummers plays. Stephen, who is founder of the International Mummers Festival, started the session playing his squeeze box and singing a traditional song. The Mummers plays can be dated back to 1750, and the word mumming derives from the tradition of disguising one's voice or utilising comic accents. The plays were subversive and often fell foul of the local authorities and were banned. In spite of this, they are still lovingly revived by folklorist groups across the UK. The Sidmouth Mummers are part of this long tradition and usually perform their play in the town at Christmas time. They do, however, make an exception for the folk festival and were mingling with audiences outside the Anchor Pub on Sunday, August the 4th, ready to start their tour of the town. More on the history of the Sidmouth Mummers play can be found at sidvalecommunityproductions.jimdofree.com/mummers. And we finish with comment on Olympic achievement on the athletics track. Great Britain's long-awaited return to the women's team sprint battle at an Olympic Games ended with gold as Emma Finucane, Katie Marchant and Sophie Capewell broke the world record three times on a perfect night at the Velodrome. After failing to even qualify in this event since London 2012, Team GB set a new benchmark in every round, the last of them a time of 45.186 seconds, which saw them beat New Zealand by 0.5 seconds to claim Britain's first ever Olympic women team's sprint medal. "It doesn't get much better than that," said Marchant, the 31-year-old who flew women's sprint flag alone for the Britain in Rio and Tokyo. "It means everything. It just shows the hard work we've put in. I always believed there was reward for hard work. We've just come together as a team and put so much work into learning how to deliver on the day." Keely Hodgkinson declared, "I deserved this," after shrugging off the weight of enormous expectations to claim women's 800 metres Olympic gold in Paris. The world silver medalist was the heavy favourite heading into the Games, especially after laying down the fastest time at her signature distance this year, last month in London. But in the build-up to her date with Destiny, consistently favoured the refrain, "Anything can happen." What ultimately did unfold at the Stade de France was a triumph after the 22-year-old found herself in front at the halfway point, then dialed it up for a surge in the home stretch to clinch the title in 1 minute 56.72 seconds, ahead of Ethiopia's Sigi Dugmar, who took silver, and Kenya's third-place finisher, Mary Mora. Hodgkinson, who 3 summers ago stormed to a surprise silver in Tokyo, said, "Being Olympic champion, no one can take that away from you. It's the biggest stage ever. I didn't know what it will bring, but I'm prepared, better prepared than I was last time. I deserve this. This last year has been focused on how I can level up. This year you could see how I've grown as an athlete. First time I've been favourite going into the championships. I've been determined for it to be that way. This year I've tried to step up. It hasn't sunk in yet. I've worked so hard for this, I'm out of words." She becomes the first British woman to claim Olympic 800 metres gold since Dame Kelly Holmes at the Athens Games in 2004, and just the third since Anne Packer in 1964. Hodgkinson is also the first British female track and field champion since Jessica Ennis-Hill at London 2012.
Well, that is all we have for you this week. But just a reminder about sunrise and sunset. Any time after 6 a.m. is a good time for opening your curtains to welcome the day, and 8:30 to close them. Please return your pouch and memory stick promptly, as it is a great help if you can post it in a pillar box rather than handing it into a post office counter. We are grateful to Royal Mail for their free delivery service. Should you wish to contact us, do not hesitate to contact Wendy on 07522 766 382. Leave a message and Wendy will return your call. There's also a website where these recordings can be heard using a computer, iPad or smartphone. The address is www.eastdevontalkingnewspaper.co.uk. So thank you for your company, and here's to the next time.